from KQED.
Good morning. I'm Rachel Miro, and this is the California Report. For years, the Homeland Security Department has boasted its beefed-up enforcement at the Mexican border has cut back on illegal crossings. But a new study commissioned by the agency raises questions about that claim, as Michelle Marisco of Fronteras Desk explains.
Researchers at the National Academy of Sciences tried to determine not how many people actually cross the border and are caught, but the number of people who tried to cross the border, period. Some illegal immigrants give up. Others try 2, 3, 4, 5 times. It's useful to think about it like a website. You can measure the number of hits every day, but if the same people keep coming back, you don't really have a sense of your traffic. What you really want is the raw number of just how many unique visitors came that day. Iowa State University statistician Alicia Carichiri worked on the study. She says Homeland Security needs that data to understand how many people really tried to cross.
They don't know. They really don't. But I think that DHS has a real interest in knowing exactly what the numbers are and how effective they are being.
In the study, researchers laid out the questions that DHS will need answers to. For example, how many people in Central America don't cross because of Border Patrol ads warning them not to? Or how many people delay plans to cross because there's no work in the U.S.? The number of illegal border crossings is now at an historic low. DHS has attributed that to the increase in border security staff and equipment. Customs and Border Protection spokesman Michael Friel.
And the border is more secure than it's ever been before.
DHS requested the study in order to demonstrate its own effectiveness, but the report had gaping holes. The agency would not release all its data to the researchers to be published, saying that could jeopardize its work on the border. For the California Report, I'm Michel Marisco in Tucson.
Tomorrow night, Humboldt State University hosts the third in a series of lectures on marijuana. That in itself may not sound surprising, but this fall, the school launched the nation's first interdisciplinary institute focused exclusively on pot, exploring everything from the federal crackdown to the environmental impacts of marijuana cultivation. The idea for an institute to cultivate academically sound research was inspired by Prop 19, the legalization initiative on the California ballot 2 years ago. Tomorrow night's talk explores similar efforts in other states, like Colorado and Washington. In the last few months, Monster Beverage of Corona has faced increasing questions about its energy drinks. The Food and Drug Administration is investigating whether the drinks are linked to 5 deaths, and there's interest at the state and local level, too. Monster has until Friday to respond to a query from the San Francisco city attorney. The California Report's health reporter Mina Kim has more.
After 14-year-old Maryland teen Anise Fournier drank 2 large cans of Monster Energy in 24 hours, she went into cardiac arrest and died a few days later. That was last year, and last month, Fournier's mother filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Southern California-based Monster Beverage. With those 2 24-ounce cans of Monster Energy, Fournier had consumed more than 5 times the daily amount of caffeine that the American Academy of Pediatrics recommends for teens.
Well, we do know that caffeine raises the adrenaline in your body, and that leads to increased blood pressure and increased heart rate.
That's UCSF cardiologist Byron Lee. Lee says it's unlikely that caffeine alone would kill someone. Fournier had an underlying heart condition, and Lee said it was likely the combination of the two that made the drinks deadly.
I think it's going too far to say that anybody who drinks a big dose of coffee is putting themselves at risk. I think the real message is that if you're not used to caffeine and you take a big dose of it, that there are going to be physiologic effects that you'll feel. And if you have some pre-existing heart disease, I think that there is potential for an abnormal heart rhythm that could be dangerous.
Lee says there just isn't enough research about the effects of caffeine on teens, and more study is needed.
Especially since these drinks are being consumed in large quantities by adolescents.
Energy drinks with their bold cartoon logos have found a market among teens and young adults. Researchers say teens use the drinks when cramming for tests, or because they believe the drinks will enhance athletic performance, or just because they like the jolt of adrenaline the caffeine provides. Standing in front of a brightly lit display of colorful energy drinks at a San Francisco corner store, 19-year-old Malaysia Sanders says she started drinking them when she was 14 because the can looked cool.
And then also the fact that it kind of looks like alcoholic beverages, too. It's like, I'll buy it because it looks like it.
Looking like you're drinking an alcoholic beverage says what?
I'm cool. I'm hip.
That's music from Monster Energy's website, which features a 17-year-old skateboarder amid a slew of extreme sports videos and images of monster girls in low-cut tops. The energy drink market targets teens, says San Francisco City Attorney Dennis Herrera, who recently sent a letter to Monster Beverage officials demanding they prove their drinks are safe.
The campaign talks about how bigger is better. You can never get too much of a good thing. Two cans per day of 24-ounce Monster is responsible for safe consumption by adolescents and adults. All these things. Show me the facts.
Monster Beverage Corporation did not respond to our repeated requests for an interview, but said in a recent statement that its products are safe and that their cans have stated for years that the drinks are not recommended for children. Herrera has given the company until Friday to respond to his letter or face possible legal action. In the meantime, California health officials are starting to gather data on energy drink-related health emergencies.
I think we're starting to develop a picture of what's going on, but also finding that it's somewhat murky.
Tom Kearney heads a division of the state's poison control system. He found 675 reports involving energy drinks over a three-year period. He says most of them involved males in their early 20s who took the drinks with drugs or other substances.
A lot of these cases, I don't know their past medical history. It's hard to gauge exactly how much of the product they use. Did they misuse the product or not?
Kearney says much more study is needed to determine if energy drinks pose a public health risk. For the California Report, I'm Mina Kim.
That's the California Report for Monday, November 26th, the production of KQED Public Radio. I'm Rachel Miro. This is the California Report.
Funds for the California Report are provided by URS, a global engineering and construction firm headquartered in San Francisco, providing engineering, construction, and technical support to public agencies and private companies. URS.com. The California Healthcare Foundation, supporting ideas and innovations to improve healthcare for all Californians. On the web at chcf.org. And Chevron, committed to helping California grow by supporting small businesses and investing in education. More information available at chevron.com.